Welcome back to another Disruptive Minds podcast. I'm your host, Tevia Holst, owner of Takota Accounting. This week, I'm pretty excited. We've got quite a disruptor from the 3D printing space. Please welcome Oscar Claussen of JozTech 3D Printing. Welcome, Oscar.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I know that I've been reading about your company and I'm fascinated to hear like how you got into the space of 3D printing. It's not something we hear about, you know, growing up, and kind of how you launched that and where it's gone.
Yeah, for sure. I've always been interested in the manufacturing side and space of stuff, but I never expected to join into 3D printing. It seemed like your typical hobbyists' ideas and stuff like that. But I ended up working at a drone company to start my professional career off while I was going to school for electrical engineering. While at that company, started to dabble into these industrial additive manufacturing machines, your EOS machines, polymer-based printing styles. And we got to see some really cool designs come through the facility, just some wild ways of integrating this technology into spheres like the drone industry. From there, the opportunity to do some work with my cousins on recreational vehicles, like your side-by-side snowmobiles and stuff like that, that started to take off. And I managed to work in a deal with my dad and a couple of his brothers. We started a company where we purchased our first industrial machine, set up a website, and that's kind of where I worked in the business, building jobs, calling people, trying to fill the machine up. From there, it turned into JozTech, and that's now we're where we're at 6 years later. So,
6 years. Okay. So, well, that was one of the things I was most excited about, because the word of the day is disruption. You know, how are we doing that in our industry? What is our mindset so that other owners listening, you know, can get that energy and to be disruptors themselves and find community in a place where, you know, that's not always happening. So talk to me about 6 years. You've got over 25 employees, 24 industrial machines. I mean, that's a lot of scale in 6 years. So talk to me a little bit about that process as an owner, as a CEO running a company. That's a huge from startup to where you're at now. So give us a little bit of how that's been for you.
Yeah, sure. I would say I had little to no knowledge about running a company. So
best way to start, right?
Yeah, exactly. Learn on the job experience. So the one thing that I feel like has helped me throughout my path here at JozTech is being able to work in every single location of the business. So I know what people are doing in shipping. I can start the machine. I can get on the phone and call a customer. There's each and every aspect of the company that I've been a part of and seen it develop into a department that we manage and run. So overall, that understanding of the business has helped a lot. Being willing to learn and adapt, we brought on coaches, we brought on, just trainings, stuff like that to really help me build myself as a leader, as well as build our managers internally, develop them to be able to manage and set goals, set ideas on what the customer is expecting to get and receive from us. From that side, one thing that we really wanted to start with was having a simple and easy to use process, which most 3D printing companies out there, you'd still have to get on the phone, call, talk, maybe send an email or two before you finally got a quote back. We wanted it to be super easy. We have a quote engine on our site. You drag and drop your file. It spits out a quote in half a second, one of the fastest in the industry. And then you can purchase that within about 4 clicks. So you're getting your design and the material you want sent to your door in 4 clicks within that 2-day time period. So we're your quick Amazon for a custom product is the idea behind it. And I think that was, in using your terms, the disruption that we were able to cause.
Sure.
The quick way to get your part with an industrial machine, it's not just for your prototyping. It is something now you can offer to your customers, build up that space until, say, you hit 100,000 parts and stuff. And then, the injection molding takes over that. But we are that great middle ground where you can get high quality, high quantity still very quickly. And then obviously based in the US too. So we're not shipping it across the ocean and stuff like that. Keeps it local. And that's where over these last 6 years, I think COVID was a big disruptor for every industry. And we saw a massive boom in just the COVID period as far as local manufacturing. So we probably grew the majority of our growth for this 6 years in that year of 2020. A massive amount of stuff happening there.
I'm so excited for where you guys are going because, as we know, a lot of manufacturing is coming back to the States and is opening up. So I'm sure you guys are excited about where your future is going. I definitely don't have enough time on the podcast to list every industry you're in, but you guys, if there's any product that you have that could be a part of 3D printing, go to their website, get a hold of them because they can probably work with you. I'm sure we'll touch on a few as we speak today, but you've touched on a ton of things that I love to do takeaways for the owners, kind of bullet points, as they're listening. And I loved what you said about the quick website access to the quotes because, as we all know, as owners, the farther down the funnel, if you will, that you get, the more bottlenecks that you have, you lose customers. So I think it's incredibly important that really young in your company, you identify the importance of that. And it's like one-click shopping, and you've got a hold of that customer. And that's so important. So big takeaway for owners there, find out how to shorten the sales cycle and to get those quotes out quickly. That's going to make a big difference for you. Another thing that you mentioned, which I just think is wonderful, is knowing all the parts of your company. Many owners can identify with that. I worked inside my company for many years before we grew me out of that. And I want to touch there for a second because I think there's probably a good takeaway for owners as well. So sometimes when we do work inside the business first, instead of maybe those that like just buy and operate, it can be hard to transition out of the day-to-day and you kind of get stuck in that cycle. So tell me a little bit about how your process looked like to make sure, or maybe you're still in the middle of it, of getting out of the day-to-day, and what do you focus on as the CEO of a large and growing company?
I would say definitely one of the key aspects was sticking right managers in the areas. First thing I did was get out of finance because I didn't understand everything as regards to that. So I got a good CFO, someone that's actually been a part of the family businesses in the past and stuff like that. It definitely helped us understand everything going forward. So me and her worked together through most of the situations we had here. The next thing was customer service. I didn't always enjoy that side of it, so that was where I wanted someone that was going to be able to help us out and give the customer the right experience as well as take my hand out of it. And then the operation side, which was what I was heavily involved in for the first 4 5 years of JOSTEC. I would say it's taken me probably at least that long before I got out of the operation side because that's what I enjoyed. I enjoyed working on the machines. I enjoyed getting parts out them. That's where I liked my time rather than sitting trying to optimize websites or emails and stuff like that. So as that's kind of happened, I've managed to move out of that operation role and are definitely more in the management side of the managers, as well as trying to locate new and interesting ways to reach our customers, just get known. And I think that's one of the big things is no one knows we exist when you start out. So how can I make more and more people aware? So we started doing content on like Instagram and stuff like that. We've got a couple viral reels and it's been a lot of fun. But any way that we can get the JOSTEC brand out there to say, hey, we're here. If you need this specific process, industrial additive manufacturing, we're here for you. Hopefully we can work together. So.
That's awesome. I bet it's fun to make the content because I know myself, I love watching content of like how things are made. So just seeing something go from the initial, I believe, powders of your material and then through the machine and, out pops, all these different things for all these industries would be kind of fun. So I want to speak to one thing you said there. Would you say in the scale that you've had that the number one thing that made a difference in operations was on the B2B side, finding that bottleneck with the website pricing? Or is there something else that ha you have helped find success in getting your scale so quickly? Like, what has supported that?
Yeah, so kind of two different portions. Obviously, our website is where we want most of our customers to come from. We've got our algorithm there. It's all priced out to based on your parts, volume, bounding box, surface area. We lump it all in that and spit out a price to you for $10. The other aspect is if they're not on our website, they're coming through a partner. So we have partnered with several companies out there that do the same exact thing with us, maybe have different machines, or they have the same machines, but they have too much capacity or are looking to offer different materials and stuff like that. They will send us work either through their websites and online portals or just through a another quoting system that we've kind of got. So there's two different funnels that kind of push in to build up that capacity. We want to obviously fill the machines each and every day. If they're not full, we're not making our money and keeping the lights on. So the ideal situation is both of those feeding into it. If we can, we want the JobsTech website to be the main source. And I would say to start with, we were 70, 80%. All of our stuff was coming from partners just because our website wasn't known. So that was definitely a scary situation. We had a lot of eggs in that basket. How do we control this? How do we keep growing? And as time went on, our brand awareness became more and more, and now we're in a lot more favorable position for our website, which obviously helps gives us a little bit more security. We control the cl clients, can get them emails, build up that relationship, and hopefully foster something that will continue to grow.
Awesome. I think, Oscar, you said something really important for another takeaway for our owners there, which was transitioning. I feel very similar to you. I work in an industry accounting where we work together with people that do what we do, people that are partners within finance, and we, trade clients around as the best fit for that client. And so I definitely identify with that. And I think a lot of other owners would as well. Number one takeaway is if you are not utilizing your industry and complementary companies, please do that because it's better to be building pipelines. Now, I think the next step is exactly where you went, and something that we work on all the time is how do you get away from those pipelines that you have less control over, and it's more of you just a wait and see, what comes in from that.
Exactly.
In order to then shift over to kind of controlling those levers a little bit more, and you have a good ROI on, okay, well, we can run this kind of content. We know what it's pushing to the website. We relatively know, a close percentage on that so that you can do that high level analytical financial work that is so important, for our long-term success in our financials and our companies.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
I think what you're saying is exactly what we're talking about. You guys are out there getting it done. You're thinking forefront of mind. You're being disruptive. I mean, you're getting these things done. So I definitely applaud you on that. And I think we can all learn a little bit from there. So talk to me a little bit about too, as scaling. I want to focus a lot on being a scaled business. All of us out there, whatever size we are looking to be bigger. And you talked how process can work and that you did a lot of like coaching for your leadership. So are there a couple takeaways there that worked well for you? Are there some softwares or layouts, or did you build your own that worked for you? And on the flip side, also kind of two-part question is, was there a specific style of coaching or just someone that you worked with that you felt, I guess brought you to the next level as a leader?
Yeah. So as far as those go, the first thing we wanted to focus on was making sure that our operations managed to meet the customer's expectation. And I think that's one thing that was difficult for me to understand initially, and that's where some of the coaching definitely helped out, is we had to get good at what we said we were good at before we go and bring in a bunch of clients or build our brand even more. If we're not doing a good job, then you're not going to build the right clientele. You're going to
Sure.
not meet expectations. So that is definitely something that we had to understand and go after well. We do use a few softwares here to manage and control a lot of the situation. We built our own internal manufacturing workflow management now. So our MES system is completely homegrown, just like our quote engine. So we've got a couple of computer science individuals here, and that helps us a lot to be flexible. Definitely an interesting expense on a 3D printing companies, especially as a
Sure.
service bureau. But it's been fantastic. We really, really enjoy having that flexibility in managing how everything flows through the building. And I think we've gotten better and better at those operations because of that. As far as the management style and the coaching that was required for me, it was me trying to get out of the operation side majorly. So working on the business rather than in it, which obviously, like you mentioned before, is that's how most business owners start. So it is definitely finding that time when is best to start pushing out to that area where you can actually grow the business is a tricky one to find, as well as not always clear. For at least myself, I felt like we were always jumping back in it as the fires came up, and then finding the right individuals to manage those fires or control the whole situation for myself, that helped me a lot to be able to stay working on the business, and just managing what our next steps are for the wider view of where we want JOSTEC to go.
Sure. Yeah. I love that. So talk to me then about, you are getting to sit at the top of your company. It sounds like you've got some good help underneath you managing the internals. So where do you look? What are some big disruptive things you're trying to do over the next few years in your company and in your industry?
Yeah, so I mean, I would say one of the biggest things that we're actively looking to do on the manufacturing side is kind of stay at the forefront of the technology. So we actually just upgraded all our HP MGF machines from a 5200 to a 5620 Pro, which doesn't necessarily mean a whole bunch, but it does mean that we get better control, better yield rates, and more accuracy. So there's a lot of things that kind of just in the hardware and software side of it, we are now the largest American fleet of these machines. So we are the highest tier, highest quality out there. So that's exciting to be able to offer that to our customers. And really kind of hit the nail on the head on a couple key industries like medical or automotive. Those are the two areas where we're going to really try to focus on the most. The accuracy being one of the most important things for the medical side. And that's where that requirement started to come in for the upgrades, as well as on the automotive side, I would say repeatability is a large thing. And so that control factor of being able to utilize their software, utilize their machines to get consistent parts out for those industries has been kind of the forefront. And then I had mentioned the software a little bit before. So at this point in time, we've got a sub side to JOSTEC, it seems like, where it is helping grow JOSTEC. That's the coding and that's the MES side that we're doing and continually improving and stuff. And we've already got people that are quite interested in what that's doing for us. And so there's a potential opportunity to then help other companies just like JOSTEC, but with that software going out and about and setting it up for individuals and stuff like that. So hopefully there's a way we can affect the whole industry rather than just our service bureau side.
Well, definitely very disruptive thinking there. I'm super excited to watch you guys and see where you go. I'll be connecting all the places and just keeping an eye on you guys because I mean everything that you're saying, I think there's just again so many takeaways. I'm loving all the, little nuggets for the owners here, which is, not only staying on top of tech, that's a huge conversation right now with AI, but I think from a financial side, which is always where my mind goes, I would imagine you guys can increase your quantity, your capacity, and even your margin in that perspective because if accuracy is getting better, you're not having waste, so all of those things are super important to the bottom line, and then diversifying. So, another takeaway, there are other owners where you can take from Oscar's example and make sure that you're tacking on other things you're able to do and consult in your own industry, become the industry leader, and all these good things. So that's going to be exciting to watch. So that's a good segue into, I love to do what we call financial facts on our podcast to kind of take away for our owners. What is something in the financials of the company that have either, stumped you over time of how to grasp it, how to get through it, or something that you've conquered and maybe a financial piece of your company that you keep an eye on as like a health measurement? What is something in that realm that others might be able to learn from?
Yeah, so with the manufacturing side, obviously our cost of goods is kind of the large thing that controls where everything's at. So one thing I like to understand and be well aware of as the month is playing out is our gross profit. So just after our sales minus your cost of goods, where are we sitting? Because our standard operation that is going to cost this much. So we know we need to get to this number in our gross profit in order to just be getting by, as well as where are we going to land throughout the years. I would say one of the biggest things that stumped me for the longest time was like your EBITDA number. Just wrapping my head around what exactly does that mean and how does that help me operate and stuff. And I've learned that it's not as much of an operation side, but more of a look into the future. You care about the EBITDA, but for right now, what's your cash flow? What's your gross profit? Where are we going to be sitting at the end of this month? And just trying to make sure that we've got cash movement that we really need to see to keep operating. So I would say those are the areas where I've learned or try to focus on.
Yes, cost of goods sold can get away from people, or costs of services in the services industry for sure can get away. Now, would you say that you have much control in that section of your company as far as you can do little tweaks here and there, or are you quite contracted in to, your supplies and your vendors for what you're utilizing, and then you kind of can forecast out quite far knowing those contracts?
Yeah, so fairly able to contract out as far as we've got fixed pricing for the amount of material we're using. It really depends on the amount of sales that are coming in because of the amount of manufacturing we will be doing. So it's hard to cast it out multiple months in advance, but it's a good way to describe as it should be a certain percentage of our total sales coming in, and then we've got our fixed costs below. So that has helped at least give us an understanding for where we should be seeing that number. And it does fluctuate. We can do things to improve it, like your yield rates and stuff like that. That is something we're always trying to improve. Getting better product out of our machine is going to hopefully mean we've got less waste, less reprints or reworks and stuff that's coming through the site, and hopefully improving each and every time.
Yes, I think that's a good takeaway. The waste is, I've seen in the back end of hundreds of companies, and a lot of times you have an idea of what the waste is, or on top of those controls for those cost of goods, and it can get away from you quicker than you think, if you are not monitoring them quite closely. So it sounds like you guys are just getting it done. I'm really excited. I mean, do you have some specific goals for the next couple of years? Like, how big are you trying to get? How many employees? I know you mentioned, you're in Idaho. That's near and dear to my heart. A lot of my family is there. So I think that's quite exciting for the community to have a big 3D printing manufacturing coming out of Idaho. I'm sure the state commerce is excited to hear that and be a part of that as well.
Yeah, no, it's been fun being local in Idaho. Just the experience, and even anyone that's coming around to visit the site. We've had a few universities out here, local high schools, middle schools, and stuff like that. That's really fun to see the engagement from the community. I would say one of the biggest goals for us is to continue to grow. Ideally, when we started this, we joked with the sales rep for HP at the time that we were going to have 60 machines, which we're at 24, so we're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's potentially the goal, to just keep building up and growing on that side, and hopefully we can fill out this building that we're currently in. And if we're going for 60 machines, we're going to need a new building. So that would be the
Yes.
situation we're going to want to land ourselves in, is just to see that continuous growth, as well as the margins on the back end that are working for us and pushing us to the right direction. So.
Sure. So I would say that you're seeing a long term where, as I was saying earlier, manufacturing is just going to get leaned on more and more in the American market. And you guys have a lot of opportunity there that you're poised and ready to go and be in charge of. So I'm excited to see where that goes. Awesome.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Well, so I know we talked about a couple of the industries that you're in, Oscar. Throw a couple more out for us. Throw out where we can find you, and we'll see if you can't make any connections out there in the market.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So automotive and medical are some of the biggest spaces. Example would be like knee braces, or even like mouth guards, dentals. And then other things that we are doing, we're in the agriculture space. I kind of mentioned drones. That's involved in that ag space. Starts to widen out there into a lot of the different technology spaces. But we do a lot of different things for agriculture. We're right across from a potato field, so right at home with all of that. And then we hit a few other areas as far as just consumer goods. We touch on quite a bit in even aerospace and stuff like that. We've started to get more involved in that. And then even just a lot of hobbyists. That's a big one, as far as like airsoft, even like your RC cars and stuff. There's a lot of 3D printing and customization that goes on in those industries. They are much larger than I realized when I started a 3D printing company. So that's been really fun to see. We've watched a few companies and industries pop up because of the 3D printing and grow to a very large number. We've got one customer started a company, completely niche industry, and is now doing more than $1 million a year in sales, as far as his side goes. And that is fantastic to see. It's just really cool that he was able to create that industry because this technology was offered. So, really fun to see.
That's so great. I'm just a really, I know I've said that, but I'm excited to see where you guys go. So, thank you, Oscar, for being with us today. This is your Disruptive Minds podcast. I'm your host, Tavia Holst, and please reach out if you're interested in being on the podcast.